Okay, I'm just presenting some data today that we've obtained at Melbourne University. So looking at using an urease inhibitor called MBPT and how that can reduce ammonia emissions under agricultural systems. So it's work that I've done with a couple of my colleagues, Deli Chen and Robert Edis, and also Charlie Walker, who's from Incitec Pivot. I'm sure most of you know what happens with urea, but just in case you don't, this is the process of urea hydrolysis. And the important thing for my talk is that this is catalyzed by this urease enzyme. So what happens when urea hydrolyzes? You get ammonia or ammonium produced, and that depends on the pH of the system, which can be either the soil pH or it can be related to the pH that occurs on a more localized scale as a urea granule hydrolyzes. So estimates of ammonia loss, which will be volatilized, range from about 0 to more than 50% is what people say of applied nitrogen fertilizer. So globally, the estimates of ammonia emissions from fertilizers or fertilized soils ranges from about 12 to 17%. From studies that have been done over a few years, the actual total amounts from these studies vary, which is one of the issues of estimating ammonia emissions, but the range has been pretty stable at that 12 to 17% from fertilizers and fertilized soils. In Australia, there's been some studies that have shown these sorts of ranges, so 1 to 40% from sugarcane trash systems, with the lower 1% occurring if the urea is injected, and the higher if it's placed on the surface of the trash. And in pasture systems, these two studies, one's from southern Australia and one's from the north of Australia, the ammonia emissions are about 20 to 28% of applied fertiliser. So to put that in the context of what those numbers mean in terms of loss of nitrogen, I've got this data for urea consumption in Australia, which is markedly less than the urea consumption in the US, which I saw in a talk yesterday, which was 1.2 million tonnes, I think. So for coming up to about 2006, we've got this level of just under 500,000 tonnes. And what I've just put here is an estimate. If we took the 40% from the sugarcane that might be lost, if you surface applied urea to sugarcane trash, we'd be losing 0.2 million tonnes a year. And this estimate from the lower estimate from pastures would be 0.1 million tonnes. So a significant amount of nitrogen can be lost as ammonia. So the urease inhibitor acts by inhibiting the urease enzyme. So it's suppressing the activity. It's not killing off the biological population. It's just suppressing it for a short time. And the inhibitor we've worked with is this MBPT. And this has been quite widely used. It's shown to not be toxic, and there's been a few studies done over a number of years in Ireland showing that it's not having any adverse effects. So the role of the urease inhibitor is to retain ammonia, to retain nitrogen as urea for longer, and this has a number of benefits. One is that the urea can actually move into the soil, so then when it's hydrolyzed, the ammonia doesn't volatilize because it's underneath the ground. And also, by slowing the production of ammonia and ammonium, there's a slower release of plant available nitrogen. So worldwide studies have been done for a number of years on this inhibitor. There haven't been ones done in Australia. And the reductions reported range from 23 to 96%. So quite a big range in reductions. So these are the studies that we did. We used a chamber system that was developed by McGinn from Canada. So we have a chamber here that we shut together and we excuse me, seal it together. We have airflow coming in through an inlet, which is controlled by a fan. And another fan here pulls the air out through an exhaust. We measure the flow through the exhaust through this area where the bung is. And the ammonia is trapped in these acid bubblers on the side, which have got 1% sulfuric acid in. So a small proportion of the exhaust air is put through those acid traps. So the first trial that we've done using that chamber system was on a wheat cropping soil, so just a bare soil. And the important thing, I guess, to note here is that the urease activity was 54 micrograms of urea N per gram of soil per hour. So in the scheme of the soils that we've tested, that's quite a lower activity. So the initial moisture content we set up was 60% water-filled pore space. We applied 160 kilograms of N per hectare, which would be a single application to wheat in Australia. And we tested at two temperatures, 15 and 25 degrees, a daily dew effect of water of 0.7 millimetres. And we had these levels of flow across the chamber. So we tried to set these to be the same. The difference in the conversions for the 25 and 15 degrees is that we went to a slightly smaller chamber, only marginally smaller, so we could get replication in our trials. Oh, I'm going the wrong way now. Okay, so this is what we found. These are our daily emissions, 25 degrees in red, 15 degrees in the pink for urea, and we find, as expected, there's greater emissions at 25 degrees. But what we're really interested in is these two lines down here compared to the two above that show that when we add the MBPT, that peak that occurs within these first 9 days with the urea treatment, so this peak is eliminated by the addition of the inhibitor. And what we also found was that we didn't get the peak later. So what you might expect is that if you inhibit the hydrolysis of urea, later on you could get the ammonia released, but we didn't observe that over the 21 days of study. So this is the cumulative emissions, and we found that for those two different temperatures, we got 85% to 94% reduction over 21 days in ammonia emissions. Just to look at how that compares to the temperature effect on the MBPT, we also ran some small-scale incubations where we looked at just urea hydrolysis, we didn't measure ammonia, and we found here that at 25 degrees the urea was hydrolyzed within 6 days. At 15 degrees it was slightly slower but still quite rapid, and that the inhibitors were able to reduce the rate at which urea hydrolyzed, with the 15 degrees at 15 degrees reducing the rate of hydrolysis quite dramatically over that 21 days. Now the product that we were using, this we had a urea with the granule with the MBPT on that's developed in Australia, is designed to inhibit urea hydrolysis for 14 days. So we find even at 25 degrees there is some inhibition to those to that 14 days. The second trial we did was looking at sugarcane soils with a trash blanket on the top. So it was an acidic soil underneath, but the main area where the interaction was occurring was on the trash blanket. So the urease activity of the soil was higher than our previous soil, but the most important thing in this trial was the urease activity of the trash, because we were surface applying the urea granules to the trash. So we made up a trash blanket of about 7 centimetres to be, so that was just sort of a lower rate for what you might get in the field. Again, we had 60% water-filled pore space for the soil. The trash was at about 25% moisture. Application rate, as would be applied to sugarcane, and we had two temperatures, 25 and 35 degrees. In this trial, we had two different dew effects. This was our first trial, 0.03, and we then increased it because the 0.03 was not a true representation of what might be happening in those sugarcane regions. And we had these flow rates across the chambers that were similar for the two different temperatures. So here again, the chart looks similar as it did for the wheat cropping soil, in that we've got the peak. The height of the peak here is much higher because we've got that higher urease activity. There's quicker rate of urea hydrolysis and more ammonia lost. The peak is thinner, but the what we notice here is actually that the peak at 25 degrees is higher than the peak at 35 degrees, which was sort of not what you'd expect, because you'd expect as you get up to about 45 degrees, the rate of urea hydrolysis would continuously increase. So one of the possible reasons that this could have occurred is that we had slightly more moisture in the 35 degree system, so it could have washed the urea into the soil, into the trash a bit more. Working with trash blankets, I don't know if you've done, any of you have worked with them, but they tend to have lots of spaces where granules can fall down and cause problems with, I guess, reproducibility and things like that. But with going with the large chamber, we were able to apply sufficient amount of urea that we could overcome those issues. But I guess importantly, again, we notice that the MBPT has taken away that initial peak. And just looking at the cumulative emissions, we can see here that with the 35 degrees, there's a greater amount of urea with the MBPT than there is at 25 degrees, which is implying that perhaps as the temperature increases, the MBPT becomes slightly less effective. So a lot of studies have shown that with these inhibitors, they're sensitive to temperatures because they break down more quickly. Okay, so in conclusion, we found that the MBPT was very effective in reducing ammonia emissions. So even up to 35 degrees, we were still getting 46% reduction in ammonia emissions. So considering the high rates of ammonia emissions that you could get from those sugarcane trash blankets, the 40% that was stated in the Denmead paper, that makes a significant amount of saved nitrogen that would occur. On the wheat cropping soils, we got very good reductions up to 25 degrees, with the 85 to 94% reduction. So what we've sort of found from these is that soil characteristics become important in how well these inhibitors work for a number of reasons. One is how quickly the rates of reactions might occur. So if you have residues in the soil that have a high urease activity and higher rates of reaction, then in some cases it's more difficult for the inhibitor to sort of cope with that level of activity that occurs. And also, some of the other soil characteristics we found can affect that, but probably organic matter is the main one we've been looking at. Moisture can affect how well they occur as well in terms of really how the urea might move into the soil and the rate of urea hydrolysis. And also temperature affects the rate of urea hydrolysis and also how the MBPT would decompose. So while we've got more studies to do, we plan to move out of these chamber systems and do some field trials, which one of my colleagues has already been doing some field trials on cropping systems, which he's found that it works very well. But we think that there's a role for this MBPT in Australian agriculture where there's surface applications of urea. So thank you.
All right, thank you. We do have a time for a question.
Showed that the ammonia really never did release in those 21 days, and then you perhaps heard the comment that even after that you never saw it. So I was just wondering what you thought happened. What do you think was happening? If you were never picking up the ammonia.
We found that we just ran the experiments for the 21 days for the capture, and then we extracted soil and trash where we had the residue, and found that there was higher levels of urea still there. And I think 21 days is a long time. You wouldn't expect urea to really be hanging around, but in those systems, they were quite drying because we had the continuous airflow over those chambers. So compared to our incubation studies where we had urea hydrolysis within the 21 days, it was a much drier system in the chamber. So it's just holding off that urea hydrolysis. Yeah.
Yeah. Is the beginning of your talk going to cover it? Is Agritane available in Australia? Is it in market and sold?
Yes, it's there's a product being sold which is Agritane coated on a urea granule, and we call it green urea in Australia. So it's